Welcome to The Romantic Side of Suspense with Sarah Hemmerker. In each episode, she'll talk with your favorite romantic suspense authors. They will take you behind the scenes of the writing process, giving excerpts from their writing, and share stories about their writing life.
Stolen Secrets by Sherry Shackelford. From investigating a security breach to becoming the target of an unseen foe, someone has been impersonating software engineer Lucy Sutton to steal classified technology secrets, and it's up to her to figure out who. National Security Agency employee Jordan Harris is the only person she trusts to help her set a trap. But with an unknown enemy watching Lucy's every move and threatening her life, capturing the culprit becomes an even deadlier task than they expected.
Hi, and welcome to this episode of The Romantic Side of Suspense. I'm your host, Sarah Hemmerker, and I'm so glad you joined me today. We're talking with Sherry Shackelford. She is a former naval reservist with a top secret security clearance. That sounds very mysterious. And she writes rapid-fire suspense featuring captivating characters and heart-pounding romance. I am so happy to have you on my show today, Sherry.
Well, thank you for hosting me.
So, now you've written a lot of books, like three suspense, I think.
Yeah, three suspense, and then before that, 11 historicals, and I think I'm working, almost finished with the four suspense.
Yes, so, historical to suspense, that's a little bit of a genre switch. So what made you decide to make that switch?
Well, it was kind of decided for me. I was writing for the Harlequin Love-Inspired Historical line, and then they made the decision to close that line. And I liked my editor, and I liked writing for Harlequin, so we kind of brainstormed a little and thought maybe suspense might be a good choice for me. All my historicals would have sort of a little bit of suspense in them, so it just seemed like a natural progression.
And, obviously I write suspense, which is why I'm doing romantic suspense, which is why I'm doing this podcast, because, you got to do what you know, right?
Yes.
I think, the question that I get often from people is, how do you keep track of all the threads? Because you can't just have one thread. I mean, you have your mystery suspense, you have your romance, and then there's usually a couple other little things that you throw in there so people don't figure out what's going on, right, too soon.
Exactly.
So how do you keep all those, kind of in play as you write?
I think for me, I'm very much a character-driven plotter, so if I know my character's conflict at the beginning, that helps keep the romantic and the personal plots in place, because if I'm ever tempted to stray, I go back to what is their false belief, what is their conflict, and that will keep me focused and centered on that thread. As for, the more structural threads, pretty much, once again, if you kind of set up a pretty good structure for your plot, I find it keeps you on track. I'm not a great plotter, but I usually know how it's going to end. And I will work my way back from the ending.
Oh, yeah, I admire that. I don't know how my books end. I know that I'm more of a pantser plotter, and which for those who are not writers listening, that means that I tend not to do a lot of outlining. But I do agree definitely that I have to do little bios of my characters. I don't do full exhaustive sheets. I find that tedious, and it makes me hate my characters. I do the little bios of them. And as I'm writing the early chapters, usually more things will come to me, so I kind of fill out those bios. Like I might not realize that my hero, why my hero's did something. I'm like, oh, that's why he did it, so I need to add that to his bio so I can pick that up later, which, works for me so far. I love people who can outline because I'm like, oh, that would be nice. No, not going to happen.
Yeah, it would be nice, wouldn't it? Because, yeah, and I find, you know, for me, it usually takes me about 3 chapters to get to know my characters. I don't really get to know them, you know. I know a lot of people will do, like, mock interviews, you know, things like that. I find I have to start writing them in that, and then they start to form. You know, I start to get more of an idea. I have a general idea, but yeah, any fine-tuning or really getting to know them, it's the first 3 chapters, and those are usually the hardest for me to write because it is. It's when I'm learning about my characters, and they're sort of maybe fighting against what I had planned for them.
Yes.
But and it is sort of tough because I remember, you know, when you're working with an editor, they kind of want to know, well, you know, show me the synopsis, show me how the story is going.
Right.
And a lot of times I have to say, like, I don't know what my character is going to do until they get to that place.
Yes.
Which I think is hard for non-writers to understand.
Right. And yeah, exactly, Sherry. You're speaking my language. We're like, you know. And, you know, because for me, my characters come alive on the page as I'm grafting them. Like, I didn't know, like, my current Love and Cyrus suspense work that I'm working on, you know, I didn't know that my heroine had, had a brother who died until I was writing. It's like, oh yes, that this is going to work. You know, it kind of, like, came to me.
Yep.
This is going to be an important, you know, thread, you know, important part of who she is and colors a lot of what she's going to do in the story. So it's fun, I think, to have them. And it does take me several chapters before I'm, like, really knowing who my characters are and how they're going to interact. And interact with the, you know, it helps us interact with whatever suspense, plot line that's there, too, because it definitely informs how they're going to do it. So I need to put them in a suspenseful situation before I really know how they're going to react and why they're going to react that way.
Yes, we absolutely write the same way because that's exactly how I am. And, you know, it took me about 3 chapters to figure out, you know, my heroine was very independent. So she did not want to depend on anybody. She felt like she feels like that's a weakness. And it wasn't until I started putting her in these dangerous situations and she had to depend on the hero that I really started to see how troublesome that was for her and what a big internal conflict that was for her.
Right. And I think another thing that is hard to explain to readers when they think about how you write them is that we have to think of, I mean, there's that external and internal. And that's, I think, you know, that's one of the hardest things, I think, to kind of learn because it's hard to teach. Because some people are more self-aware of their inner thoughts, and a lot of us are clueless. Right? A lot of us are just like, yeah, why did I do, you know? And I find that, you know, in writing fiction, I am more aware because I think, well, how would I react? What would I think? And I think, well, what did I think in this situation? Not that I've been in a lot of suspenseful situations, but the emotions that our characters feel are ones generally that we have felt.
I think
the whole gamut of emotions.
Absolutely, and I think, you know, writers tend to be very empathetic people, so when you are watching a scary movie or a suspenseful movie, you are putting yourself there and you're thinking, I wouldn't do that, I would do that, oh, I would be terrified, or that, you know, that wouldn't bother me, but that would, so we tend to be very empathetic. So for us, reading a book or watching a film, you know, we are participating with our emotions.
Yes, I remember the first time that really came home to me. I'm reading Jane Eyre in 8th grade in school, and I get to the part where Helen dies, okay? If you've read Jane Eyre, you have them. And I'm invested in this story, and I'm, like, trying not to cry in class.
Yep.
Because everyone else is doing other things. And then in college, I'm reading Gone with the Wind. I was running to write a paper on it, and I knew I had to go into my dorm room and make sure no one was around when I read certain parts. I'd read it before because I knew I was going to cry again. So
yeah, yep. Absolutely.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, I love that books can give, you know, can touch our emotions. And I always try to be, you know, to have that biblical truth in my books as well. They may not always talk about God, but I, you know, you always have that one strong character, at least I try to, who really believes in God and how that colors, you know, his or her outlook, you know, to show how a Christian would react in those situations, I think can be very powerful as well.
Absolutely. Yes. And I think as writers, excuse me, we need to be protective of ourselves, because I know there are certain books that I don't read. If I'm having a struggling or if I'm having a hard time, I wouldn't go back to that book. You know, that book's for when I'm a little more, you know, when I'm a little more cheerful. And I think that's why a lot of people are attracted to romance, because you can sort of experience all those emotions vicariously, but you know you're going to have it. You're guaranteed a happy ending.
Yeah.
And I think that's
yeah.
very comforting to readers. It's very comforting to me.
Yeah, and I know that people who have not read romance or haven't read it in many years, they can be a little, a little kind of snobbish about it, I guess.
Yeah,
you know,
I
read that. And I think, and I love what Harlequin as a company is doing right now, you know, in promoting the fact that this can be a very healthy kind of way to, you know, to explore some of those emotions within, you know, between the pages of a book. And that can be very positive to a person's emotional well-being, I guess is what I'm trying to say. So I love that it's kind of,
absolutely,
you know, more people are kind of, you know, not reading them with, you know, brown paper bag over them like people used to, even just general romantic books, Christian romantic books. You know, you didn't want to be caught reading a romance, no matter what genre or publishing company. But now I think that's changing. I think that's important, because I think we do a good service to our readers. And I love that we're able to let them into our world and give them, you know, a great escape.
And I think, you know, a lot of people are sort of caught up in the 80s romance book, you know, the heyday with the, you know, the shirtless hero and the very dramatic poses. And I think a lot of people, you know, focus on that and don't realize that, yeah, that was 30, 40 years ago. 40
yeah.
years ago, things have changed. And we show our readers healthy relationships mm-hmm. that have conflict, but, you know, who are people who care for each other and who want to improve in their own lives, and they want to make the lives of others better. And we give our readers this chance to sort of vicariously experience that and those emotions.
Yeah, and I think that's and I agree, and I think that's one of the things that I love about writing romantic suspense, is that we can kind of marry those two, give them the, you know, I love reading, you know, suspense and romantic suspense myself. So I'm glad we're, you know, able to, you know, write that and give readers that kind of satisfactory and happy ending. I mean, life is full of disappointments, you know. And I think guaranteeing a happy ending can be a really good thing.
It can be a great comfort to people. And I always tell people, too, you know, it's interesting to me that people are very dismissive of romance and sort of think it's the, you know, sort of the easy way, you know, to get published or to write. And I have written in other genres, and I will say romance is absolutely the hardest to write, because you have two protagonists that have to have their own internal and external conflict,
mm-hmm.
and that internal and external conflict has to be in opposition to each other. And that is a really difficult, tricky balance to maintain throughout a book, to make, you know, and to make all that conflict believable. I mean, for us, we have to first convince the reader that there's absolutely no way these two characters could ever be together. And then we have to get them together.
Yes. And I think that's a great way to end our show today. So thank you so much for being with me, Sherry.
Well, I really appreciate you hosting me.
You've been listening to The Romantic Side of Suspense. I'm Sarah Hammerger, and I've been talking with Sherry Shackelford. And her new book, Stolen Secrets, you're going to hear an excerpt from it now before the close of the show. And you can read more about Sherry in the notes for the show. So I hope that you'll join me next time.
Now an excerpt from Stolen Secrets by Sherry Shackelford. Adjusting his tie, Jordan Harris checked his reflection in the mirrored glass window of the coffee shop. His civilian haircut camouflaged the crescent scar looping around his left ear, and the extra volume of his suit jacket concealed his weapon. Satisfied his appearance was squared away, he pushed open the door. The comforting aroma of freshly brewed coffee enveloped him in a soothing, air-conditioned cloud. A half-dozen people were scattered throughout the colorful, airy space. 4 females, 1 toddler, and 3 males. Soft perimeter. No credible threats. These days, no place was entirely safe. Not even Omaha, Nebraska. A woman with white blonde hair sat with her back to the door. A soft breeze ruffled the wavy chin-length strands, revealing the vivid blue streaks hidden throughout the layers. Lucy Sutton. He stared, mesmerized for a moment, before returning to his senses. Trained in masking his emotions, Jordan worked for the National Security Agency. He was a modern-day spy in a digital world. He was good at his job, but there were times when he felt as though his life was comprised of nothing more than smoke and mirrors. Lucy turned, and he lifted his hand in greeting. They'd texted. He'd seen her picture plenty of times, and he assumed she'd looked him up on social media. Recognition softened her blue-gray eyes, and she waved him over. She wore a dark floral print dress with an enveloping black sweater. By the time he maneuvered through the jumble of mismatched tables and chairs, she'd stood up, the top of her head not quite clearing his shoulder. Her expressive, storm-colored eyes took up most of the real estate on her pixie face. "Jordan Harris?" she asked, her voice slightly husky.
"Lucy Sutton, right?" he replied, though he'd have recognized her anywhere.
They exchanged the awkward, cursory greeting of 2 people who shared nothing beyond a mutual tragedy.
"It's good to finally meet you in person," he said.
A little over a year ago, he'd been assigned to an isolated intelligence recon mission overseas along with Lucy's fiancé, Brant Gallagher. During the endless hours of monotonous surveillance, Brant had shared portions of Lucy's emails to entertain them. Knowing they were far from home and missing the familiar, she'd transformed even the most mundane daily activities into amusing anecdotes. As the weeks passed, Jordan had looked forward to her witty observations and keen intelligence. Knowing that nothing would ever come of it, he'd even allowed himself to develop a harmless crush on her.
"Nice to see you too," she said, her smile warm. "This must be quite a change of pace after being overseas."
"Not as much as you'd think."
He tucked his hands into his pockets.
"I can't tell you how sorry I am about Brant. I should have spoken to you earlier, but I couldn't."
Lucy held up one hand, her eyes welling with tears.
"Don't apologize. They told me you'd been injured."
She studied his face, as though searching for any lingering signs of the explosion that had permanently altered his hairline.
"They didn't tell me how badly, though."
"Not bad."
He was heartily sick of the traumatic brain injury protocol, and he'd had enough neurological scans to map out his brain 10 times over.
"Fully recovered."
"Brant promised me the job was rarely dangerous."
"Normally it's not. But we work in hostile places, and there's always a risk."
"I miss him."
Her throat worked.
"You knew him better than I ever did. You knew him longer. With his parents gone, they gave me his flag. It should have gone too."
Her voice broke.
"I miss him too."
Jordan took her elbow and guided her toward the table.
"You were his fiancée. He'd have wanted you to have it."
She sank onto her chair.
Thank you.
I can't imagine what you're going through, he said. I appreciate you meeting me, considering.
He'd felt a connection to her, even though they'd never met in person before today. Maybe it was because he'd had a childhood friend with the same name. Though she was nothing like the kid he'd known in school, hearing the name Lucy Sutton automatically came with a sense of belonging.
Every day is different, you know.
Lucy's smile was overly bright, and there were dark circles beneath her eyes.
You were a good friend to him, and that means a lot.
A band of emotion squeezed his chest. She wouldn't be saying that if she knew the truth of her fiancé's death. They'd been on the verge of wrapping up their assignment when something, or someone, had blown their cover. A suicide bomber had targeted the hotel where they were conducting their surveillance. Jordan had survived the blast. Brant had not. That was all Lucy knew about that day. She didn't know the suicide bomber had discovered the intelligence equipment Jordan and Brant had planted earlier. That part was classified.
Thanks for listening to The Romantic Side of Suspense with Sarah Hammerker. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review. You can sign up to receive notifications of upcoming podcasts and listen to previous editions at sarahhammerkerfiction.com.